that applause was specially recorded for our new serial. Bought that fantastic cast from the boys' bullseye man, featuring
the adventures of fearless Harry Seacum.
And that music was played by the Gruber Quartet, who've been specially engaged
direct from the Seaview Hotel Residence Sea Lounge
to play all the theme music for this thrilling new serial,
The Adventures of Fearless Harold Seacum.
Part one.
Section one.
Installment one.
Chapter one.
But first, for the benefit of new readers, here is a synopsis of...
What has gone before?
Nothing.
Now, read on.
Chapter one. The ghastly experiments of Dr. Hans Eidelberger and his sinister oriental assistant, Yakamoto.
Just one more touch here.
So? Animal doctor has completed another ghastly experiment.
Yeah, Yakamoto. Only a few more now.
Only one drawback. We have run out of vulnerable victims.
You didn't order another dozen, as I told you?
No. Today, early closing.
Oh? Never mind. I'll trust the agent's headstone is at this moment collecting a special victim for me. One, he assures me, is the ideal body.
Then stretch, bum, 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 the arms, raise arms, Laura, come down, coming.
Mr. Seacum.
That is my name.
Have you somewhere I could hang up my top hat and the shovel?
Certainly. Hang them on the coat rack there. Yeah, let me take your shroud as well.
Thank you.
Yes. Who are you?
My name is Headstone, although I'm known as Digger.
Oh, you're an Australian.
No.
Well, what are you exactly?
I'm a mortician, naturalized British, of course.
You're an undertaker? Nonsense. Can you prove it?
Yes. Well?
What do you want to see me about?
A very grave matter. Your health. How do you feel?
Me? Fine. Fit as a fiddle. Brimful of health, bursting with vitality. A1, top of the world, in the pink, hale and hearty, and crammed with vim, virile vigor.
That I know just the doctor for you.
I'll go and see him immediately, if you'll let me have his address.
Probably. Dr. Hans Eidelberger, 10A, Vatican Street, East Beckham.
Thank you. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Now, Madigan Road, East Acton. I must get there as soon as possible.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, what's it say on the clock?
4:15.
Oh, bother. I've only got a 5 past 5. Thank you, and here's a couple of minutes for yourself.
Thank you very much. Sir. I'll see
you here. Goodbye. Now, let me see. Number 27A. Oh, yes. Dr. Hans Eidelberger, please give 2 rings. What?
Ah! Honorable sir, good morning. Friend, Mr. Seacum.
Thank you. I wish to see Dr. Hans Eidelberger.
Honorable Dr. Eidelberger, making experiments. In next room.
Oh, is it? What on earth was that? Scream. Funny, it sounded exactly like someone in pain.
Not all experiments successful.
Captain Burton, that's the first of which the Iron System works from Mitterrhein, the Cotton Empire, with the Garamite.
Yakamoto?
Honorable Doctor?
experiment 266 kaput. I have failed with experiment 266.
Who? Who is he?
Experiment 262.
Huh? Mr. Tickham. Oh, welcome.
Why are you sticking that needle in my arm?
I haven't got a pin cushion.
Hey, that's all right, then.
No, this way.
Perhaps
this time my experiment will succeed. There must be a man somewhere who can take the weight of a steamroller on his face.
Wait, I heard that. And I warn you, I'm not paying for any fancy Harley treatment. Do I get everything on the National Health?
Everything except the steamroller. That you get on your face.
Thank you.
Honorable listeners are wondering perhaps how experiment is progressing. One moment, please. I will observe. Experiment proceeding satisfactorily.
Yakamoto, come in here.
Coming, sir. Experiment another failure.
Let me go, you scoundrel! Release me at once from this ordinary wooden chair to which you will bound me hand and foot, thereby rendering me helpless. Little does he know that I am
sawing
through my ropes on a rusty nail in the wall.
Little does he know that it doesn't make any difference as I have nailed his boots to the floor.
Little does he know that I have a spare pair of boots concealed in my ear, and at any moment I shall be leap up, brandishing my revolver.
Little does he know that I have taken his revolver.
I wonder how Arthur will get on today.
Enough of this, Deacon. The time has come for you to die.
Why?
Well, you're so old. Yakamoto, hand me my gun. And...
Oh, there you are, sir.
Oh, hello, Cabot.
Sorry to bother you, sir, but that 5 past 5 game was a forgery. It's 10 minutes slow.
Never mind that now, man. Help me distract these two criminals. That is, if you don't object to a bout of fisticuffs.
Object? Oh, no.
Right. Put up your dupe, Teddy Heidelberg, Otto. And you, Yakamoto.
Yes, you dirty fellow, take that.
In the back! Oh, my God!
We'll explain to anxious listeners that fight's not going in our favor. Now, physics students must receive honorable Seacombe's fist in honor of their stars.
No!
Will fearless Harry overpower the villainous pair? Will Heidelberger succeed in opening the floodgates? Will Kensington, the cab driver, manage to stop the oncoming train in time? Will Yakamoto...
How dare you! Take that!
Oh, God! Stop this next week, seven installments. Order your copy in advance. A spring flag of pop given away everywhere. Who will win? The foot, the third, or the foot, the rainbow?
The most electrifying moment this year was a dramatic message flashed to London. The message read,
Everest conquered.
Everest conquered. This can only mean one thing. Everest has been conquered.
Yes, finally, it conquered.
But we, the Goons, question the authenticity of the Everest expedition's claim to have climbed that great mountain. We give you now the story on which our doubts are based. Here, then, is
the Mount Everest Project, or...
The Mount Everest
Project.
India.
It is about this country and Mount Everest that young Lord Harry Seagull in 1887 made his speech in the House of Lords.
My Lord, Great Britain has now reached the peak of power. We have the world's largest navy, the world's largest army, and the world's finest plum. But one thing
we have not gotten this island.
What is that?
Is the world's highest mountain.
What?
Yes, my lord, it is a bitter realization. But I intend to rectify this geographical discrepancy.
In what manner, my lord?
Simple. Bring Mount Everest here.
He is the honorable lord.
He is suggesting that the whole of Mount Everest be brought to England.
I am. Does the honorable member know what he's talking about?
I'm not supposed to. I'm a politician. I want to bring Mount Everest here for one reason and one reason only.
What is that reason?
To make England the tallest country in the world.
Thank you.
By the volume of your applause, I take it we're all in agreement. Therefore, here to explain his method for moving Mount Everest here is Mr. Crumb. Are you ready to answer questions, Mr. Crumb?
Mr. Crumb, how much would it cost to move this mountain?
Will it go by land or sea?
How will the cost be met?
Have you a definite plan?
Yes, I'm ready to answer questions.
Good. Mr. Crumb, how will the mountain be removed from its base?
Well, first, the whole mountain will have to be chopped down. Next, it will be sawn into several 12 3/4-inch blocks.
Why 12 and three quarters? Why not 13?
Because 13 is an unlucky number.
Rubbish,
say what you like. But let me assure you, madam, that 13 is a very, very unlucky number.
Rubbish, I have 13 million pounds to make. What did you say about that?
Marry me.
Lord Seagoon's idea was passed, and soon an advanced survey party under Major Blodnock arrived in India to measure the great mountain.
Well, Lord Seagoon, this is the Himalayan range. Which one is Everest?
It's the tall one. Look, it's been specially marked with a cross.
Yes. I'll keep the bear to that. Here it comes now.
Hello, Mr. Eccles. I see you've marked the mountain with a cross.
Yep, I write my name everywhere.
Oh. Now, Eccles, let us get to work, shall we?
Okay.
Right, now, you take this end of the tape measure.
Oh, good, yes.
Now, run around the mountain and measure the circumference.
Okay, here we go.
Hug me. Hold me. Kiss me in your arms until you hold. Oh, dear.
Well, 3,050 miles.
Fantastic. Now we'll see how tall it is, shall we?
Okay.
Well, off you go while you're still fresh.
I ain't admitting it, but I'm tired.
Up you go, you malingerer.
Okay,
Bigger Bloodduck, you must be mad to climb to the top of Mount Everest. No human being can do that.
I know, that's why I sent Eccles.
Hello down there. I reached 40,000 feet.
Well, you'd better come down a bit.
Why?
It's only 30,000 feet high. Incidentally, how far can you see?
Oh, it's a wonderful view. I can see right across France, across America. I can see right across the Pacific, right across Japan, over China. And hey, guess what I can see in India?
What, lad?
I can see the back of a man standing on top of a mountain.
I wish we all could. Now, Lord Harry, while we've a moment to wait for Mr. Crumb's party to arrive, but what about having the Railington cross test?
Railington,
Ryle!
Was that you making all that noise when you should have been working?
Me? Oh, no.
no, no!
Don't be elusive. Answer yes or no.
No!
Ellington, are you telling me white lies?
Man? That's the one kind I couldn't tell.
Well, you better dig your frantic gang and start shoving Mount Everest down at once. And put some mattresses down. We don't want to crack it when it falls. It's
okay.
The value.
Come on, you lot. Let's get jumping in the
Oh, who are you? Oh, hello, Mr. Clarence.
Ah! Oh, Echo. Oh, you gave me such a fright.
Right, Roberta? But you saw me coming.
I know, but just seeing you always gives me
Well, I, can't help the ladies and beauty. I should know, I ain't got either.
Don't you worry, Echo. After all, beauty is only skin deep. Oh. Underneath it, we are all the same.
Ooh. Yes, please. Without my skin on, I'd look like dinosaurs.
Oh, what a naughty thought. Naughty, naughty. Well, that's enough,
Echo.
Put your skin on again.
Okay. Was it a bit silly? Here's
the clerk. Before I leave a government house, could you help me check this list of crated stores?
Certainly, Lord Harry.
Right. Now, in crate number one, we should have the following.
Yes?
6,000 articulated hairless cobalt nightshirts.
Yes, yes.
10 volleys in Abyssinian on how to use inverted self-propelled Melanesian emergency knife bucket and spoon. 400 weight of assorted concrete trombones with trombones attached to the my Jones.
Yes.
50 tins of fortified high-altitude cenopod tea with portable thunder sheet.
I got that, Harry. I'll correct yet. Now, what's in crate number two?
Crate number three.
Well, what's in crate number three?
Nothing.
What's the idea of that?
To make it lighter.
Oh, very good. Now tell me.
Hey, look out, you three. The mountain's coming down.
What?
Stay clear. Timbo!
Dig here, sorry.
Okay, right, here goes.
Oh, this is terrible. Such a thing to happen to him, and on his birthday, too.
How old is he?
98.
Man, he's not worth digging up.
What? You horrible man, you. You've got to dig him up. He's got my wages in his pocket.
I got him. I got him. In fact, I got all three of them. Now, give me a heave. One.
Now, what's in crate number four?
Oh, my head!
What's your head doing in crate number four?
I say, look! Mount Everest is down! Mount Everest is down! Huzzah! Huzzah!
Yep, sure is!
Then, Major Budlock, it's up to you now. Get cracking!
Yes, yes, well, Lord Harry, in a week, Mount Everest will be packed. Ready for shipment to England.
But the shipment was delayed. I was called to Government House, New Delhi. When I arrived there, this is what I was told.
Lord Harry, there's a delegation of foreign gentlemen waiting to see you.
Oh, heavens. Who are they?
They refuse to stay.
Tell the Russians I'll see them.
Lord Harry Sigurd?
Yes?
My government have taken exceptions to your removal of Mount Everest.
On what ground?
We will tell you what ground. A portion of Mount Everest was in Russia. Therefore, Britain has violated the Anglo-Nordic Agreement of 1873.
I've never heard of it.
What? You mean you don't believe us?
No. I don't believe there is any such agreement.
Oh, there's gratitude for you.
after we spend all the money forging it.
What's trouble with English? English, you're filthy, uneducated, ill-mannered, uncouth, unhealthy, incompetent, moronic, idiotic, and unflattering.
Everyone has their little weaknesses.
Mine is my nose.
Nose?
Yes. Thompson?
Sir?
Would you take these two gentlemen's camels outside? I find them a little overpowering.
Overpowering? Insult, insult, insult.
Our camels are cleaned and washed every day in service.
They don't smell.
Of course they don't smell. It's that. The following day, I returned to Bombay, by which time Mount Everest had been wrapped in brown paper and lowered into the hold of HMS Regurgitant. With its precious cargo, we set sail for England.
But then, bad luck. 4 days out, we ran into a freak storm.
My God, Crun, what a storm.
Yes, we're leaking badly.
Were the holes flooded?
I couldn't tell. They were full up with water.
Bitter luck.
Don't signal. O'Malley, the cook, we washed overboard.
Good heavens, when?
About 3 days ago.
Why didn't you report this before?
I don't like you.
Oh. It is terrible. Wait it. Here comes the captain.
A father, stand by. We think he's not in a sea alive. Come on, Echo.
Your captain?
Anything that's not needed, throw over the side.
Okay.
Everest was sunk, and to this day has lain on the bottom of the sea.
The question is, what did Hillary and Tenting climb?
The answer is simple. They climbed the highest base in the world.
What do you think? Send your solution to us on a postcard addressed to Mount Everest Salvage Fund, care of Professor Pickard. Good night. The orchestra was conducted by Wallace Scott, scripted by Spike Milligan and Mary Stevens, announcer Andrew Timothy, produced by Peter.